From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yo, this is the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Dugout episode, season wrap. 2019 is in the books. The Yankees fall short in the 2019 ALCS to the Houston Astros. I'm going to quickly talk about this because this will be the last baseball episode of this year. We might pick up some on a recap here and there on a random Monday between now and the end of 2019. But as far as our baseball team, our season is over. I finally got over it. It was really hard waking up Sunday morning after the loss Saturday, but it was weird in a sense because of we were losing to the better team. Houston, in my opinion, the Houston Astros were the better team, but the Yankees went down without a fight. I loved the fact that they scratched and clawed, forced this game to the bottom of the ninth, and then unfortunately, Jose Altuve buried the Yankee season with a home run off of Rodon Chapman. But there's more to the season this recap. CC Sabathia is, you know, his final days as a New York Yankee. There's a lot of questions going into next season because his elite starting pitching has been exposed by the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? The Yankees have been exposed that no matter how you look at it with analytics, spreadsheets, and all that other stuff, at the end of the day, elite starting pitching, nine times out of ten gets the job done. That's the reason why the Washington Nationals are in the World Series. That's the reason why the Houston Astros are in the World Series. Elite starting pitching gets the job done, period, end of story. But, you know what, it's really weird because 2017, losing in Game 7 to the Houston Astros, we were closer to the World Series 2 years ago than we were in 2019. We didn't get to a Game 7. So there's a lot of questions to be asked for the Yankees. The Astros bullpen, in my opinion, stepped up. I thought they stepped up. And I think that was the big X factor in this whole shebang was because we could not get past the elite pitching for the Houston Astros with Gerrit Cole one night and Verlander, even though he gave the two-run home run to Judge, the bullpen, for the most part, for the Astros, held it down. And the Yankees' bats were neutralized. I don't think the Yankees' bats were as cold as a lot of people say. I just think elite started pitching overdoes home run or die at the end of the day. And it's always been like that for baseball. But nonetheless, I thought it was a good year. I wouldn't say it was a successful year, but I thought it was a good year despite all the injuries that we did have. I mean, that is the shining light, the silver lining in all this, because we did fight and crawl with all these injuries. I never thought we ever peaked this season. I don't think we ever did. But we also had the free agents getting into 2020. As far as guys like Didi Gregorius, Brett Gardner, Austin Romine, and Cameron Maben. So we'll discuss that as well on this quick episode as far as the season recap episode. Donato DP, man, your Jets are about to be underway, but, man, let's talk some Yankees real quick, man. How you doing, sir? Donato DP.
I'm great, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Yes, sir, man. What's your thoughts as far as you know, losing the series to the Astros, what about the season overall? And then we can deep dive into all the other players and why it ended.
Well, the first thing I like to do, Steve, is, you know what, that KGYR Facebook page, my hat goes off to them. That was probably some of the classiest stuff I've seen, not only all season, but in the playoff. I mean, I don't think, don't get me wrong, Steve, I didn't read every post, but I very seldom saw the blame game during a game, after the game. It was always heads up. That girl, E, however you say her name, and Yvette, you know, I got to give them two thumbs up, Steve. I hope they listen to the show because, I mean, the whole group does a great job. But for some reason, them two just kept me into it. And no whole humbug stuff. That got to be some of the best stuff I experienced, Steve. And the funny thing is, Steve, I'm going to say this. Because I said this before, win, lose, or draw, up until they lost, this was probably one of the most fun seasons Dominic, had the pleasure of watching the Yankees. I mean, with all they went through, the heads up, next man up, 103 wins, game six, supposedly so overmanned. And my hat goes off to them, Steve. I can't look at the why we lost, how we lost. You know what? A lot of them games were close. A pitch here, a pitch there. Maybe for the Yankees, hint, hint, Didi.
Yeah,
hold on, Steve. In the garage. In the.
All right. Go ahead, Dom. Before we continue, Dom, I got to get you limit the background noise. But I agree with you, Dominic, man, as far as the season. Overall, it was fun to watch. I just felt we never, ever got – it felt like we were always missing some pieces throughout the regular season. Despite the fact that we won the division quite easily, we could have won it by a wider margin. And this probably goes back to – now, some people may say, Dominic – home field may play a little bit of an advantage, but the Houston Astros defeated the Yankees two times out of three on their home field. So would that have made the biggest of differences? Maybe. I mean, some people buy into home field advantage, some people don't. I mean, we went on the road and won the first game in Houston, Dom. I mean, we did win on their ball. You know, we went up 1-0. I agree with you, Dominic, as far as the attitude of a lot of Yankee fans. You know, KGR, a lot of the Yankee fans. They're really a lot of them classy, a lot of them could be douches, but you know, for the most part, a lot of Yankee fans. I think we knew that we played the better team. I think Houston is the better team, and things are going to be changed in the offseason for our team, the Astros, and all the other teams in the AL, Dom. But as far as performance on the field, especially the Yankees in this series, they a home run or die. Came back to haunt the Yankees. That's the way I look at it, because it's one thing to go up against Minnesota's pitching. You could rally in some hits and play a hit-and-run baseball. But the Astros play a style of baseball, to me, Dominic, similar to a lot of those late 90s, early 2000 teams. Yes, they have a little bit of power. They can hit game-winning home runs like they did twice in the series, but at the same time, they bring the elite starting pitching. They brought an above-average bullpen. They were playing. They were hitting and running. They ran the ball very well. They stole bases. The Astros play a well-rounded baseball series, and to me, that type of baseball is still a winning product. Even though they are all into the analytics and stuff, they're not as home run or die dependent like we are. And I don't care how many home runs we hit in the regular season. The Twins were out in the first round. They led the entire history of the sport in the regular season in home runs. And the Yankees were right behind them for the most of all time. All that doesn't mean nothing as far as World Series. But, Dom, what about the play on, let's say, Aaron Hicks coming back in the series? What about all the other players? CeCe Sabathia, the starting pitchers and stuff like that. Like, how do you look at individual performances?
Steve, you know I hate to go negative, but there are some things I saw. Like, I think we wasted a couple of slots. We wasted a slot on CeCe. We probably wasted a slot on Stanton. Can't say the same for Hicks. He came in, he tried his hardest. He still played a good center field, got a key home run. But I think we wasted a couple of slots. And, Steve, it sounds like we're talking last year when you used to always talk about the situational hitting. I think the thing that annoyed me this year the most was, other than Judge, DJ, and Torres, nobody hit over a buck 50. So that was some of the guys we had in there for situational hitting. The Archellos, the Didis, Gardner, you know, they were supposed to be those kind of slap hitters. And what confused me the most, Steve, is when they was going through all this, where was Mevin? Why wasn't Mevin getting in the game? You know, at least he was a contact hitter. Yeah, he got power, but he's got good contact. He's a good outfielder. I mean, you kept – first of all, they kept wasting a slot with a DH, because whoever they put a DH, both teams didn't have a player hitting 100, Steve, as a DH. And the Yankees never stopped and said, you know what, let's at least try this. You know, if we put Mevin in left or Mevin DH or something just to try to shake it up a little bit. But none of the guys, Steve, that we would consider, and I don't think anybody disappointed me, and I love them, Steve, don't get me wrong. I don't think nobody disappointed me more than Didi. his first pitch swinging on a numerous occasions. One occasion, the pitcher had just threw seven straight balls, bases loaded, and you swing at an outside pitch, which you can only hit a ground ball on, and you hit a ground ball and hit it. And he did it twice, Steve. Not only was he not hitting, the times we at least expected, hey, man, take a pitch. This guy hasn't thrown a strike in seven pitches. Take a pitch. We need this run. But he, to me, Steve, I think he disappointed me the most of any Yankee. And I hate to say that because, you know what, he's been a good Yankee, good shortstop, good hitter. But for some reason, Steve, when he came back, he had a couple of stretches. Let's just be honest. He owns Minnesota. So let's cancel that out. He just owns that team. But other than that, Steve, his situational hitting, him particularly, the Yankees in general, but him, I think that was the most disappointing. Him, then comes Sanchez. I really can't say I expected a whole lot from Encarnacion. I didn't expect him to bat 100. But it's the slap hitters that I thought would at least, because you gotta remember, Steve, though some of the games, a couple of them were lopsided, one on our end, one on their end. A lot of the games went down to a pitch here, a pitch there, a key hit here, a key hit there for us. And I'm not into the hypothetical, Steve, that it could have turned itself around. You're right, the better team won, but we blew a lot of golden opportunities, man. Maybe I'm a little biased because I'm a Yankee fan, but Steve, I watched every game. I watched every inning. There was just certain things that just irked me as watching professional ball players. You know, come on, man. The guy hasn't thrown a strike in about 2 hours. And the first thing you do is swing the first pitch.
That's the whole thing I'm thinking about. Hold on. Let me ask you this, because it all plays to what I'm saying as far as the way the sport is going, and we'll bring on Av after this, and I want us to chime in. But let me ask you this. Is this more about the game, the direction of the analytics telling Didi, hey, man, you are a better first-pitch swinger, go for it no matter what pitch it is, versus taking the pitch? Is it probably more so that than him getting the signs to not take the pitch, I'm thinking it's somewhere in between, man. I think it's a combination of both. That's the way it's supposed to go.
I don't know, Steve. I understand the way the game is changing, but there's too many things that people are putting in this analytics book that they're not showing us.
I know,
us,
man.
Us as baseball fans, Steve. A guy hasn't thrown a strike in seven innings. Seven pitches. Even you in Little League knew he hasn't thrown a pitch. I got to take a strike. I got to take till he shows me he can throw a strike. Analytics can't teach you that, Steve. That's common baseball.
I agree.
We're talking about professionals, man. But I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Man. No, I never believed in it, Steve, and I still don't. Because I've seen too many things that went totally against analytics this year. You know, Steve Matz for the Mets. I think it was Matz. Pitching seven innings, 58 pitches, retired 14 in a row, and the manager takes him out. Analytics told him to do that, and the next inning you end up blowing the lead. Come on, Steve. Common sense got to play some sort of role in this, like it always did long before analytics. I can give you too many cases, Steve, where it don't work. The Houston Rockets were a great example.
Right. I'm thinking somewhere during the stretch, this crop of Yankees, I'm thinking that's cost us at least one title. Hold on. Is this Av? I want to make sure the Knickerbocker Av and our source for the streets.
Yo, what's going on, Dominic, Steve? Man, I've had a couple of days to like fucking, you know, like, you know, to get over this whole thing. And, you know, I still need, I was saying I need a break from sports between, you know, the Yankees getting eliminated, to the Giants, you know, getting destroyed, to the Knicks starting tomorrow, and the Rangers on the slide that they're in. I'm kind of like, I need a break from sports. This is like this is supposed to be the best time of the year because all four sports are going on, but it's a stressful one, especially if you're losing on all fronts. And first things first. As disappointing as it was, I'm very proud of what the Yankees accomplished this year. I'm going to six games in the ALCS. You know, being a fighting team, especially in that last six game, I mean, that you can't write that kind of stuff. That shows you not only grit, but it shows you perseverance, and it shows you a lot of character about what this team is supposed to be. But on the flip side, as Dominic was just talking about the analytics and all this other stuff, there's that huge variable that I think that that gets lost in translation because the game is changing so much into an analytical format, and that's how you want to manage the game. I'm sorry, but you can't completely manage that. That Steve Matt situation that Dominic just brought up, perfect example. I mean, how the hell do you pitch seven innings, you know, under 60 pitches, and you decide, well, no, analytics dictate that you should pull him out. I mean, there's a huge, and I mean, the people in baseball have been trying to freaking do this, you know, for years, removing the human element and the human variable about how the game is, you know, is played, managed, and organized. And it's, you know, it's getting carried away because obviously sportscasters and sports networks, you know, want to live and die off of this because they want to be able to predict the victories and defeats. But all in all, great. It was a great year. American League East division champions, sweeping the other division series, and taking the Houston Astros to six games. I'm satisfied with what they brought me. They showed me effort. So me as a Yankee fan, I can be proud. Now here's the bad part. I think Aaron Boone made a crap load of huge mistakes. And running this, you know, running the organization and running the team such as a way as by the analytics. What I mean by that is that how the hell do you have a starter go out there like Tanaka or like Paxton or, you know, or whoever, and you figure that they should, I mean, we're cutting, you know, their outings shorter and shorter and then overexposing a bullpen. Not figuring that even in basic analytics would tell you that the more a opposing batter sees the same pitcher, the more it favors the hitter. So you constantly, you know, night after night, throw out the same three, four guys in rotation. You're throwing out Canely, you're throwing out Green, you're throwing out Avino. You don't have the chances, but you don't throw, and you can't, you know, throw out Chapman because you want to save him for, you know, a safe situation. So what did you think the pitching situation was going to be? I mean, that's something that, of course, everybody's been saying that the Yankees, the Cashman should have gone out and got us an arm. But the way that Boone managed that bullpen, I mean, it was just as bad as, if not worse, than what Girardi did a couple of years back.
The whole point I'm trying to make. I'm with you. I agree with everything you're saying. I'm thinking this is above Aaron Boone. This is, and I hate to make excuses for Aaron Boone because this is not the same baseball Dominic has grown up watching, the same baseball I'm grown up watching and you are. I'm thinking decisions like this is coming from, this is made before the game. Like, if this situation happens, we're going to go with this pitcher no matter what. And a prime example was, like you said, Adam Ottavino. There's no way the human element would have said he's struggling. He's been burnt out in the regular season. He gave us a great regular season. But analytics says we're throwing Adam Ottavino in there no matter what. And the Yankee fans are like, what the hell are you doing? And he's getting exposed. Of, you know, the big home run was a prime example earlier in the series in Houston. I'm with you, Av. I think this is bigger than Aaron Boone saying, okay, well, we're going to make this decision. This is computerized,
see,
man, I think.
But you see, but you know what? You bring up a good point, but that is the main reason why Aaron Boone even got hired. That was the biggest reason why Boone was even considered as Girardi's predecessor, which is still kind of like mind boggling to me, that you would rather go with a television analyst who's never coached or managed a day in his freaking life over a guy who was once the National League Manager of the Year, is a World Series champion as a manager, as a player, as you know, pretty much have crossed the checklist of all the prerequisites that a good manager should have: championship pedigree, you know, great experience, you know, a really personable guy, you know, so on and so forth, can relate and is a good orator of some sort, and has somewhat of experience. You said you went with Aaron Boone, which is the only reason that people even know about Aaron Boone was because of a fluke home run he hit back in 2003. Aside from that, we all consider him as Brett's little brother. I mean, that's the God's honest truth. I don't know, bro. I mean,
I'm with you. I get it.
The bullpen was overexposed, and then as Dominic alluded to, you know, there were so many key opportunities where the Yankees were on offense just did not cash in. I mean, they were heralding the Yankees so much about, you know, their numbers and their analytics with runners in scoring position. They were among the top in the, and then all of a sudden in this series, you know, they're stranding 8, 10, 12, 15 batters a night. You know, I mean, it's not like they're getting overpowered by Cole or Verlander or anything. They were just getting – they were getting executed in key situations.
The Houston bullpen stuff. That was the X factor, absolutely, in my opinion, in this series. They pitched well. I got to give it to them.
And Dom, do you have a question for Av, man?
Go ahead, Av, real quick, before I go to Dom.
The last thing is that the offense is – two home run heavy. They didn't know how to. I mean, they have to, you know, get back to you know manufacturing runs.
But that's exactly what Dominic said. Like, why was May? Can you answer that question? Why was Maven not in there in left field or DHing when Edwin Encarnacion was clearly struggling? Is that more analytics stuff too, or like, what's your thoughts on that? That was Maven's point, and I agree with that.
I think they were looking at his slugging numbers against certain key matchups situations, which, you know, that would favor it. But I think really, I mean, Encarnacion should have probably, you know, rested a couple of those days, and that's maybe the time where either you put Maven or you test your luck with Stanton at the DH, and then you have somebody else who can play left field. You can still keep the same left field lineup, and you can have Stanton at DH. And because even though they're saying, oh, he had a torn quad, notice that when they plugged him right back in, the offense felt different. Because he adds that added protection. Even though he's struggling, he hasn't been putting up the numbers. His presence is a variable that analytics cannot just figure it out. It's just one of those human element variables that are much necessary. And instead, they played it by the book. They played it by analytics. And they figured Encarnacion, 30 home runs, eight or nine seasons in a row, has a favorable matchup average against these certain players. And that's what they went with.
Right. Let's go back to Dom. Dom, if you have any questions for Avalon or the Yankee season, but also I got to ask you, Dom, man, because CeCe Sabathia, your thoughts on his legacy as far as him going to Cooperstown. Also, the free agents going into next year. I mean, that's a key one right there for the Yankees. Do they sign them, re-sign them? What do they do? Because, you know, Hank and Howe is really stingy with the pocketbook. Brett Gardner's a free agent. Austin Romine, Cameron Maven. What do we want to do with those free agents? And if you want to look ahead, because you've got a DJ LeMay, who had a phenomenal season, he's a free agent in 2020. You want to give him an extension right away and not worry about 2020. What's your thoughts as far as the Yankees' future and also CeCe Sabathia, what he's given the Yankees, Don? And then we'll go back to Av.
CeCe may go down as the best left-hander we ever had. I understand Pettit. Pettit came, left, came. I love Pettit, don't get me wrong. But I think the grit and the motivation that CeCe gave that ball team, it can't go unlooked. I mean, he had his struggles down the end. Of course, he was older. CeCe sort of burnt himself out. I'm surprised he got this far. Because let's not forget, guys, when CeCe was a stud back with Cleveland and first coming to the Yankees, you know, they didn't give a damn about a pitch count when he was on the mound. He just pitched. You know, so did he fizzle out because of that? Maybe. But my question before I get to the free agents to all of us is something that I felt. I just felt because of the pitching the Yankees thought they had to face, like the Verlanders, the Coles, the Greinkes, was that in their head and they just pressed too hard? I had this thing, guys, and it almost worked out, kind of flipped. But I thought the Yankees would have a bigger problem with Greinke than Cole and Verlander, because Greinke is that junk pitcher where he gets you the chase pitches, and the Yankees are great for that. You know, Sanchez was swinging at pitches the bat boy was picking up. I thought they would have better success against Cole and Verlander because they come right at you. That's mano y mano, and the Yankees like that. You know, that mano y mano. You throw it, we hit it. We hit it far, whatever. But I just think the Yankees pressed a little too much because of the pitching they was thinking about, and it was stuck in their head. Great example is when LeMahieu tried to score on that bot ground ball that went to the shortstop. What a press it, what a we need a run, you know, so high risk, low reward, but we're gonna try it anyway. And you know what?
Yeah,
and that
I definitely thought they were.
Right. In that instance right there, if LeMahieu scores, we're up 3-1. Now the pitch of big O throws, we're still up 3-2. And our bullpen shut him down to the 11th inning, which wouldn't have been an 11th inning. So I just think the Yankees pressed a little too much because the pitching was in their heads. As far as the free agents, guys, if we lose DJ, I mean, if we lose Didi, Torres goes back to his natural position. Not saying I want to lose Didi. Don't take this the wrong way, guys. But in the event that happens, Torres is a shortstop. He goes back to short, extend LeMahieu, even though we got him next year. He goes back to second. You find the first baseman. The thing about the other free agents, guys, trying to get him, in my heart of hearts, I know the Yankees attempt to do it. How many guys don't want to come to New York, don't want the bright lights? You know, we're seeing this a lot now, guys, not just in baseball, in a lot of sports. You know, they just don't. Greinke's a prime example. He didn't care where he got traded as long as it wasn't the Yankees. So it's easier. In other words, guys, it's easier said than done that, okay, the Yankees got all this money. They should sign Steve, Dom, Knickerbocker. In reality, guys, it's not that easy. It's easier said than done. You put your offer on the table, and they did it this summer, guys, and a lot of guys backed off, wanted longer years, wanted this, wanted that.
So, hold on, Dom, because we got repressed on time, Dom. Hold on, let's get to Av, because we're pressed on time. Av, you want to answer Dom's question as far as Didi's situation and as far as CC Sabathia as well? You want to get your thoughts on that?
In terms of Didi Gregorius, I honestly don't know if I want to, like, you know, offer him the big money, because we do have guys, we do have pieces, you know, down in the minor leagues that are just ready to go. The names just escaped me for a second, but we have a couple of shortstops, we have a couple of second basemen, we have a couple of, you know, really good infielders in the farm. However, I've always been a great factor of let's package those guys up as, you know, as part of a good deal to bring a quality arm, big name pitcher. But in terms of Didi, I think that if the price is reasonable, you of course keep them as much as you can. But you know, the Yankees, the way they've been handling the, you know, the payroll situation is starting to really kind of annoy me a little bit, because of that. Because usually the money would be the be all and end all, for the exception for a couple of named pitchers, you know, Cliff Lee and so forth. But aside from that, it's like, come on now. You know, you're the Yankees. You're supposed, you know, you want to be able to fill Yankee Stadium up on a much more consistent basis with those crazy ticket prices, and then of course you want to get that 28th World Championship. And you know, the way Hal's been, you know, being kind of frugal about it, I mean, it does limit us to a certain degree. And I mean, not only do but then I'm always thinking to myself, if we let Didi go, does that mean that we're all in on Cole? Because he's going to be a free agent. Or are we all in on somebody else, you know, another pitcher? Because the Yankees need pitching. You lose Sabathia. I mean, eventually Tanaka's going to have to get that freaking Tommy John, eventually. You don't know if you're going to get Herman back. I mean, Severino, who knows if he'll ever be able to, you know, shake those playoff jitters like he's known to have. So, I mean, the Yankees are in trouble in terms of the starting rotation, as usual, and now they're one guy less. So you kind of have to keep Didi, you know, just to keep that, you know, just to keep the offense stable and, you know, figure a way to probably extend LeMahieu. Actually, no, check that. LeMahieu, just let him write out his contract and then we'll see what happens. And then, but they need an arm. So Didi, keep Didi, get an arm.
Yeah. You absolutely, I agree with a lot of that, man. I definitely agree with a lot of that, especially that, you know, how Hank and Hal pocketbook, they're really trying to restrict and cut back the money spending. I mean, at the end of the day, it's their money. So who are we as fans that we can criticize on how they spend? I mean, if you bring – they brought a quality product, but there's give and takes with that. Dominic, let's get some final thoughts from you. But, Al, you know what? Great point, man. Domingo Germán, who was excellent all regular season for the most part, he was really missing in this series, man. That's another arm in the starting arm that we could have used in this series, man. That's a great point, man, with Domingo Germán. Dominic, give us your final thoughts. We're out of time, man. But your thoughts, man, as far as, you know, the season, man, and heading forward. And of course, we got the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum if you want to spill into that on Wednesday after the game. Go ahead, Dominic, and then we'll get to Avenue and we'll wrap up.
Great season. You know, I love doing this, Steve. I just thank you all for letting me in. But to me, it wasn't a losing season. I had a great time. I'm not backing off. It was the most fun time I had watching the Yankees in years. So that's it for me, guys.
Donardo DP on Twitter. Give him a follow, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this podcast, man. And Av, your final thoughts as well. We can always spill this on over because we're going to have a lot of time. We're going to have at least close to 2 hours Knicks basketball after the game versus the Spurs, but we'll probably even sprinkle a little bit of the Yankees if we must say if we could not get in on this episode. Go ahead, Ab, final thoughts.
Final thought is going to be really it's actually going to be very very simple. To all the fans who you know who are still diehard pinstripe blue, he's still bleeding blue. Y'all the real fans. You were the MVP. Talking to other Yankee fans, you know, this season was so much more fun than in years past. And you know what? This wasn't a losing season because you know we got to experience something. We had some great moments. We've had, you know, of course, the sad ending. But I feel that the Yankees are going to be back next season, and you have to just keep on tuning into the dugout to listen to our crazy asses. You know, analyze and criticize every single one of those moves that the Cashman and the gang will end up doing. But as always, Knickerbocker Ave, you know, the source of the streets for the New York Knicks. We'll be back. I'll be back on Wednesday night. Following the San Antonio, season debut. And for those who were asking if it was true, yeah, Kevin Durant did tweet, did respond to me, and well. The one thing is that he thinks I'm cool, and for all time six, fuck you, Kevin Durant, and fuck the Nets. Anyways, Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, signing Bleed Blue all day, Sangre Azul. Out.
At Knickerbocker Avenue, shout out our search for the streets for the Knicks, and huge diehard Yankee, Knicks, Giant Ranger fan as well. We'll be back on Wednesday, of course, to talk that and all the other episodes available, scheduled on the BleedBlueShow.com website. Despite the injuries, man, I mean, the resiliency, I love the resiliency. Good season, but me personally, man, I want World Series, man. The window is open, but we need to cash in at least one World Series by now. That's kind of the way I look at it. And it goes back to 2017 when we did not finish the job in the ALCS on Game 7, man. I mean, that still lingers to me, man. We have got to get a World Series in this. And this really pisses me off because we're out of time and we're going to wrap this up like this. I'm really starting to hate the Houston Astros. Never did like the Houston Astros like that, but I'm really starting to hate them for the fact that, A, they beat us in 2017 and 2019, but, B, in 2018 allowed the Red Sox to get a World Series under their belt. I don't like that at all. Get through them, and they beat the Dodgers. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue, Bleed Blue.